In Ephesians chapter 2, the verses we covered last night that was so marvelously spoken just now in this text. In verse 21, it says that this building, or all the building, being fitted together, the idea that it is not just this or that piece of material. It is these materials fitted together, framed together. In Ephesians 4, describing this building of the body of Christ, it's even knitted together, interwoven together. So, that this growth that we're talking about here is really not just an individual growth. It starts there. There's no doubt about it. Each one of us must grow in Christ, must grow with the growth of God, must have the divine element increasing in us all the time. But while we are growing this way, we also need to be fitted with others. That means grow with the others. There comes a time, brothers and sisters, in our experiences in the church life, you are not even satisfied, happy with just yourself growing. You feel something something missing, something lacking. And until the day you find that you are just but a stone, you are just a member, and you grow and you in Christ, of course, but eventually you must grow with others. My body, look at my body, all the cells, all the organs, all the parts, they don't grow separately or individualistically. It would be a little bit strange, right? My little fingers suddenly grow disproportionately to my hands and other fingers. That's something quite grotesque, wouldn't you say? But no, it does not do that. My whole body, with the regeneration of cells, I don't know how these things work, but the whole body grows together. And so this is a marvelous, marvelous thought, that I'm not growing alone. I'm growing with my brothers. I'm growing with the saints. I'm growing with all the other members of the body. And in the case of the building as a temple or a dwelling place of God, we are talking about being fitted and framed together. So this building grows by our being framed together, fit together. I would say actually the test, if there would be a test of genuine spiritual growth, if there would be a test whether your growth is real or not, it is genuine or not, it is healthy or not, the check is this, the test is this, whether you are growing just alone over there in the corner or, you know, in your home, or are you growing with the brothers and sisters? Are you growing with the saints, with the other members? Otherwise, this kind of growth would be ugly. And to make it even a more serious point, not to scare you, but this is real in our bodies, there's one kind of growth that is, I hope we don't have, and that's called cancer. You know, cancer is your own cells run amok and growing and flourishing and multiplying on its own with its own mind. It's part of you. But what it is doing, it is going to damage you. It is going to hurt you. It may even kill you. We don't want to grow as a cancerous cell, do we? We want to grow with the saints. We want to grow together. So there's a big lesson here learned is to be fitted together, to grow together. That's why we need the blending. That's why we need to be together. That's why we need to not be individualistic and independent, but to be with the saints and grow together with them. Now, the other thing is this, that in verse 21, we are growing, this temple is growing in the Lord. And in verse 22, locally, we are also being built together into a habitation or dwelling place of God in spirit. These two words, in whom, or in the Lord, excuse me, and in the spirit refers to the realm, to the sphere where this building is taking place. This building takes place only in the realm of Christ, in the Christly realm. Outside of Christ, any kind of growth or any kind, there would be no genuine building of this temple. And to actuate it, to make it practical and experiential, we have to, where is this Christ? This Christ is today in our spirit, isn't he? Joined to our spirit as one spirit. So, we are here what? We are here, we must remain in the realm of Christ where the growth of the temple takes place, and we must also remain in our spirit. Stay in our spirit, live and walk in our spirit, and be built with one another in the spirit. Outside of the spirit, there's no building. If you're in your mind, I'm in my emotion, and he or she is in the will and in our soul, I'll tell you, no building can take place. You can be a good team. You can play ball, okay? But you cannot have the genuine building of a dwelling place of God, because that only takes place in spirit, in this wonderful mingled spirit. That's the sphere. That's the place. That's the realm where this divine building takes place. I hope we remember this. Just because I'm listening to the test, I want to add those two words. Now, tonight, actually, we come to quite an important crystal or message that is concerning what the Lord's recovery is. Now, there are many ways to describe or to explain what is the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the truth, of the divine truth. That's certainly true. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the experience of Christ, am I right, as life and everything to us. That is, of course, a great item of the recovery. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the church. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of what? Of all the saints being perfected to function by the gifts, am I right, to do the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And that is a great recovery. There are many ways to describe the Lord's recovery. Tonight, we will describe the Lord's recovery in a most special way, probably in a way that we don't generally, often, regularly talk about. Perhaps this may even be new to us, a new thought to us. Well, let's be open to that. The Lord's recovery, according to the outline tonight, the burden tonight, is to build up Zion. To build up Zion. When I came to the church life so many decades ago, one of the greatest things that helped me and many of us was the picture of the return from the captivity of the children of Israel from Babylon. You remember that? You know that. And the recovery was portrayed in a marvelous way by the return of these captives after 70 years, according to Jeremiah's prophecy, and very much Daniel's prayer. There was a return of a remnant of these captives from the land of Babylon back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, to rebuild the city walls, to rebuild the temple, and so on, to return to the land, to return to the city, and to restore the Lord's testimony. And many of us were captured by that vision, and truly this is a great picture of what the Lord's recovery is. So we have songs, what is that? Hallelujah, hallelujah, what? Maybe not that. What is that? There's a song about we're coming back as one man to Jerusalem. Is this the one? To Jerusalem we've come. We are through with Babylon. We are gathered to be one. Oh, glory be. That. Thank you. That. The songs I just sang were almost like the anthem of the 60s for us. All right? While all these crazy flower children and hippies were going on, we in the Lord's recovery were singing songs of returning to Jerusalem. In one accord, Brother Lee in 1969 had a special conference on the recovery of the city, right? The house and the city. We were crazy. We were like then the dream, right? It's in Psalm. We came back. We returned. We used to hang our harps in the trees of Babylon. We cannot sing. Now we can sing. It was too wonderful. We've come back to Jerusalem. Well, if you just have that view, well, praise the Lord for that view. But tonight, we need to go on. The Lord's recovery is not just to come back to Jerusalem. That's a start. To return to the land. To return to the land, the good land, the promised land. That's a start. To return to Jerusalem. That is a start. To rebuild the walls. Right? Here it says what? It is what? It is to build up Zion. Of course, they came back to rebuild the temple, and the temple actually is on Zion, right? But the stress at that time was not so much Zion. It was also around that time, brotherly study, the first time Psalms with us, Christ and the church as portrayed in the Psalms, and Christ, house, city, earth. Do you remember that? And Zion was very much covered. We have today many songs in our supplement on Zion. Oh, walk about Zion. All those came from the 60s, okay? But today, 50, 60 years later, my brothers and sisters, this matter of Zion has to be uplifted, has to be revealed to us in a fresh way, in a high way, I would even say in the highest way. What we are hearing under the ministry of this age in the last years, concerning Zion, and as we will see, concerning the overcomers. It is too great, too intrinsic, too deep, And in fact, tonight we have to talk about this, and I was a little bit concerned if all the brothers and sisters here have the context and the background to appreciate what we're talking about here, these very high peak utterances and understandings concerning the overcomers and concerning Zion. Tonight I will say this. This will come as a shock to you, maybe. In those days, we fell in love with the church life, Christ and the church, right? The church is everything. We gave our lives to that. Well, tonight, with Zion as the burden, we have to realize even the church does not fulfill God's heart's desire. You may say, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? I'm not saying we don't need the church. This is nonsense. Christ and the church is what is in God's heart. He wants the church, of course. But what I am saying is that the church repeated the tragic history of God's people. And the man that God has created for himself, his own purpose. What does I mean by that? The church failed. The church failed in her testimony, in her commission, in her calling. She failed. And because of that, there is the need for overcomers. Now, I don't have the time tonight to spend, you know, there's a lot to read. Let me tell you, there are a few books that you can read that I have to study some for this message. Not in their entireties, but here they are. I just want to let you know. Number one is on the practical points concerning blending. There's such a book, a short book, 1994, okay? It's on blending. You may say, oh, it's on blending. It is on blending. But I will tell you, that book talks about the overcomers. In a top, high peak, most intrinsic manner. If you want to really grasp this matter of being an overcomer, what is an overcomer? What is to reach the high peak of Zion? Zion refers to the overcomers. You have to read this book. Then another book that you have to read is Watchman Nee, Brother Watchman Nee. If you go to his collected works, there is this series, speaking from him, under the present testimony. The present testimony. There is some speaking there concerning the overcomers. The present testimony. Then another book that you should read, and the book name would not tell you about the overcomers. It's called The Vital Groups. Now, there are three sets of speaking by Brother Lee on the vital groups in the early 90s. This is the third of the three. All right? There are two sets of messages given by Brother Lee on the vital groups. This is the last one, okay? So this is Brother Lee's last speaking on the vital groups back in 1996. He started in 1992 fall with set one, and then he continued to set two. Then there was a sea law or break When he came back on the third, this is the vital groups. Go to the vital groups and you will find his speaking concerning the overcomers. This is why, even in this outline, you will find brotherly interchangeably almost use the word overcomers and vital groups. If you don't read that, you'll be lost. You don't know what is this vital group overcomers. Today, let me say this, I say an honest word. This term, vital group, is used very much among us. Very much everyone, we're building a vital group, you're building your vital group, we need to do the vital groups. The heart is good, but I'd like to say this, it is quite possible that we're entering even into the practice of the vital groups without the adequate vision. And so, when that intrinsic vision is missing, you can have a kind of practice that is on the surface, that is just a practice without the intrinsic reality. When Brother Lee talked about the vital groups, he brought it to such a high point that the vital groups are the overcomers in the church life, that the overcomers are Zion in Jerusalem, the church life. My goodness, my goodness. So that is another book. And finally, in 1992, Brother Lee gave, I think, these messages in Seattle. Please correct me if I'm wrong, on the overcomers. And there, if you want to really study the overcomers and the types and the categories of overcomers, you have to read that book. It covers especially in the book of Revelation who these overcomers are. He made this statement that one way to look at the book of Revelation is just two things. Two things. It's not a book about beasts, not a book about horns, not a book about even the Great Tribulation, about so many of these things. He said this book is about only two things. Number one, the overcomers, and number two, the New Jerusalem. That's it. Have you ever heard that? The overcomers and the New Jerusalem. And the overcomers are those who will bring in the New Jerusalem, or if you will, consummate the New Jerusalem. So that in the end, in this New Jerusalem, everyone there, all the believers, every single one of Christ's believers, will be an overcomer. Except they will be overcomer later. After 1,000 years, to be perfected and matured. Because in this age, the age that we're in, they did not experience that perfecting and what? And maturation. If you think about this way, I tell you, the overcomer starting with in the fifth seal, those who are crying from under the altar, the earth, the martyrs, beginning from Abel, the first martyr, all the way to the time of the fifth seal, all these people who are crying and saying, how long? How long? And that brought in the sixth seal. And that sixth seal would lead to the Great Tribulation. These are the overcomers. Then you have, these are the man-child in chapter 12 of Revelation. And those are this group of martyrs under the earth, plus those who are martyred in between the time of the fifth seal to the time of the start of the Great Tribulation. That was still a little period of time. You add them up all together, that is the man-child. All the dead, overcomers. The man-child, the strong part of the woman. And then in chapter 14, you have the 144,000 who are the living overcomers who are raptured directly to Mount Zion. To Mount Zion. These are the living overcomers as the first fruits. And these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. And so on. Okay? So, this book of Revelation is on the what? On the overcomers. So, prior to the Lord's coming, there would be these different groups of overcomers ready. And eventually the Lord would come. The point is what? The point is the Lord could not come back if it's not for these overcomers. The church has, by all counts, failed and become desolate and become a Christendom, a great mixture, unable to fulfill God's purpose. And so in the principle that God operates throughout time in the Old Testament and in the New, He needs to raise up a minority, a small minority of people. These are not Superman, Superwoman. These are the ones who responded to the call of God to rise up in that failed and degraded, corrupt situation to stand for God's testimony. These are the people who are victorious, not defeated, not going along with the tide. So look at the Old Testament. You have overcomers. Caleb, am I right? Joshua. Almost everyone say, forget about it. Why did Jehovah take us out into this place? We're not going to enter into that land. We're like grasshoppers. And these two would stand up, no, let's go up now. Jehovah has given this land to us. We won't be eaten. We will eat them. That's an overcomer. And then you just read all the figures in chapter 11, that list of men and women of faith in the Old Testament. These are the overcomers. These are the overcomers. And you have these ones in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. The church began to degrade when the first apostles were still around, starting with AD 60 and then onwards. Degradation already have set in. And so the call of the overcomers did not happen in our days. The call of overcomers in the New Testament began soon after the Lord ascended. And so you have the seven epistles in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation. And those letters, in a general sense, were written to the seven local churches, you know, which is a what? A picture of the history of the church in this age, from the first church, the early church, all the way to the degraded, recovered church called Laodicea, from Ephesus to Laodicea. Three of them are gone, four of them are still here until the Lord comes back. generally, this is the Lord speaking or the Spirit speaking to the churches. But if you read it again, you will see it is not just a general epistles to the churches, but it is what? Every letter is a call. Every letter at the end says, he who overcomes. He who overcomes. These epistles, these letters are written to call overcomers. And history has proven that most in these, the degradation did not turn and became part of that degradation. Only a small number in all the ages of this church in the last 2,000 years. In every age, there is a small number that would rise up, that would respond to the call, he who overcomes. He who overcomes. And at this juncture, I like to say a word to the graduating trainees. You mind? You know, I have a class with them called Life of Service. I consider almost every class a word of departure. They know what I'm talking about. So I have plenty of chance to speak a departing word to them. And this time, in the their graduation last week, right Saturday, I wasn't there, but you watched a clip by Brother Lee, didn't you? Did you remember what you watched? Remember what he said? Is that the one from 1995, Brother Lee's departing words to the FTTA trainees, starting with two huge big words, never forget. Did you watch that? Have you forgotten already? They're all together, 8 points or 9 points. It says, never forget. Never forget. I would give you this departing assignment. This is an assignment. You go back and memorize all those points. And put it on your refrigerator, okay? Or the top of the ceiling where you sleep. Okay. You memorize them. You commit it to your good memory and never forget. Now, those points are not what I'm going to say to you. What I want to say to you is Brother Lee's last sentence. He said this. He said, may the abundant and abounding grace of the Lord be with you from the day of your graduation until the day he would appear to you as the morning star. He said that to you. So those were not for 1995 graduates. It's for you. And today I was thinking about that, and what touched me is Brother Lee said, what? From your graduation to a certain day. What day is that? The day the Lord would appear. So that refers to the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming back. But not only so, that he would appear to you, each one of you graduates, as a morning star. Do you know, trainees, where that comes from? That comes from this call for an overcomer to the church in Thyatira. To him who overcome, I will give the morning star. What Brother Lee is actually implying there, I think, is two things. Number one, until we see the Lord. Until the Lord comes back, never forget these things. Number two, he's almost saying this with an expectation that you will be an overcomer. Because only overcomers will receive that morning star. And you have to read Peter, 2 Peter, about what? In this very, very dark age, right? We need to pay heed to the prophetic word until the morning star arises in our heart. That refers to the Lord's coming to the overcomers. He will come as a flash of lightning. He will come as in the kingdom as the sun shining in his strength, but to his overcomers, he will come as the morning star. I just want to add that word to you. I hope you will never forget those 8 points. Now, I'm already not pacing myself well at all. So I'm going to read. I said I will read. Indeed, I will read. Okay. The Lord's recovery is to build up Zion. So let's first find out what is Zion. One, Zion was the city of King David. This is 2 Samuel 5:7. It says, but David took the stronghold of Zion, which is now the city of David, the center of the city of Jerusalem. So you have the city of Jerusalem, the place that God has chosen to put his name there. But Jerusalem is a rather large city. And in that city, you have hills, you have mountains, you have these elevated locations. And in the center of that city of Jerusalem is where the temple is built. Talk about the temple. God's dwelling place is built there. It's not built in other parts of Jerusalem. It's built in a selected place, and that is Zion, where the temple as God's dwelling place on earth was built. And this, there's a slew of verses here. The slew of verses here, I like to read. It talks about here, sing psalms to Jehovah, the inhabitant of Zion, the inhabitant. There's a solo resident here. He's called Jehovah. He lives there. But I have installed, Psalm 2:6, my king upon Zion, the holy mountain. And then Psalm 74:2, remember, I better not spend so much time reading all the verses, and Mount Zion, where you dwell. That means Jehovah, Mount Zion. Psalm 76:2, and Salem is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. Psalm 125, those who trust in Jehovah are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Psalm 135, blessed be Jehovah from Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Yes, he dwells in Jerusalem, but specifically he lives on Mount Zion, where his house is. And Isaiah 8:18, it talks about Jehovah of hosts who abides on Mount Zion. And there's another verse, Isaiah 24:23, for Jehovah of hosts will reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. Zion is a special location, a special place, Mount Zion. That's where the temple of God is within the city of Jerusalem. A, Jerusalem typifies the church, and Zion typifies the overcomers in the church. This Zion is the prominent, eminent part of the city of Jerusalem. It is the outstanding part of the city. So whereas Jerusalem typifies the church, Zion are the overcomers in the church. One, Zion is the highlight of Jerusalem, the beauty of the holy city. Again, you have these verses like this, Psalm 48:2. beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Psalm 52, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. So, you say Jerusalem is marvelous. I tell you, the beauty of Jerusalem is Zion. You take away Zion, Jerusalem is not so beautiful. It's just another city. Zion is her beauty. And Zion is her highlight. Two, as the Heinz highlight and beauty of the holy city, Jerusalem, Zion typifies the overcomers as the high peak, the center, the uplifting, the strengthening, the enriching, the beauty, and the reality of the church. The church should be all these things to God. But alas, the church degraded, the church declined. The church is no more these things. So God needs something. And that something is the high peak of Zion. And this high peak, this Zion, supplies Jerusalem with a peak, with a center, with something that is uplifting, something that is strong, something that is rich, something that is beautiful, and something that is possessed of reality, all the divine realities of the church. The church has lost these things. It has. Today, the church has lost these things. God needs a Zion today. In Jerusalem, God needs the overcomers today to provide Jerusalem with a peak, with a center, with the strength, with the riches and beauty. Three, the hill of Zion is absolutely open to the Lord and is absolutely possessed by Him. I don't have the time, but this is wonderful. Wonderful. In Psalm 24, it says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O long enduring doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? Jehovah, strong and mighty. Jehovah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift up, O long enduring doors, and the King of glory will come in. This reveals to us that Zion is the place in Jerusalem where everything is open to God. Nothing closed about it. Everything, they are absolutely open to the Lord. They're absolutely possessed by the Lord. Herein is a definition, a good definition of what is an overcomer. An overcomer is one who is totally and entirely open to the Lord, open to God. Whatever God says, whatever God wants, whatever God's will is, whatever God's intention is, Zion will say, I'm open to you. Oh God, I'm open to you. And to this Zion, the King of glory will come in. This is where the King of glory dwells. This is where He is pleased to land and to live and to remain. Not only so, the other definition of an overcomer according to this is the place, the people that are totally possessed by God. They're not just open to the Lord, but their whole being is possessed by God. There's not a part of them that is not possessed. They're owned in their entirety by God. God owns every cell, every organ, every part of their being. That's Zion. That's Zion. This reveals that the local churches are not God's goal. You see, this is where we need a little help. In the advance of our concept, even concerning the church, the local churches, as wonderful as they are, as necessary they are, and we're in the church life, aren't we? in the local churches. Praise the Lord for the local churches. But here, they are not God's goal, but a procedure God takes to reach His goal. Later on, we will see the highways to Zion. I tell you, the local church life is part of that highway. This is the pilgrimage. This is the journey. This is the process that we take to reach Zion. But remember, it's not God's goal. It's a procedure to reach that goal. The local churches usher us into what? What is the goal? The goal is this: the reality of the body of Christ. Now this, I tell you, this is a $1 million sentence. It's packed. There's no time to adequately expound this tonight, no. But I would just say this: the reality of the body of Christ, this phrase, I hope these days would resound in our being. But it depends whether you understand what that means, to appreciate it, to treasure it. It's just not some words. Today, the Lord needs the reality of the body of Christ to appear on this earth before He can come back. And the local church, the church life, ushers us into that reality. By God's grace and God's help, we're here in the church life, being ushered into this reality. There must be brothers and sisters, saints in the local churches that are in this reality to a certain degree. And the higher, the better. The more, the better. I would say today, the lack, the need in the churches, in the Lord's recovery, is Zion. Is the reality of the body of Christ. How many saints are living in this reality? How many brothers and sisters are part of this reality? Two, the highest peak of the Lord's recovery that can carry out God's testimony is for God to produce not many local churches in a physical way, but an organic body to be His organism. You see, again, I just trust that you have some understanding of these words from the high peak era of this ministry of the age, spoken in the 90s. Let me repeat, the high peak of the Lord's, even the Lord's recovery needs a high peak. May I say this? This is not to disappoint. This is absolutely not to discourage. But for you and I, as blessed as it is to be in the recovery today, isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that grace and blessing? To be in the Lord's recovery. I mean, I count this to be my second salvation, to be brought into the Lord's recovery. It's wonderful. But the Lord's recovery, or being in the Lord's recovery, is not a guarantee that you will be in the reality of the body of Christ. This is just a fact. Or to put it another way, to be in the church life today or be in the local churches today does not automatically means you will be an overcomer. However, thank the Lord, the local churches provides the best environment, the best surroundings, the best situation. Am I right? Look at all these truths. Look at all this life. Look at all these things that we're receiving. This is the place to become an overcomer. So while we are in the local churches, let us remind ourselves we have not yet arrived. Now that we're in Jerusalem, we need to sing the songs of degrees to continue that upward travel from parts of Jerusalem to Mount Zion. The journey does not stop when we arrive in the churches. Another journey, the highway to Zion, is in front of us. Tonight I have a burden, if nothing else, our heart tonight would be filled with the highways to Zion. So many brothers and sisters and saints in the recovery would be on this highway, and in their heart would be such an highway. God's economy is not just to produce many local churches in a physical way, but an organic body to be his organism. One time, our brother said this, and I quote, he said, today, in the local churches, 90% are physical. I didn't say that. I'm quoting. 90% are physical. It doesn't mean the physical is bad. All right? That's not the point. No, it's good. It is wonderful. But the call is for us to go higher, to arrive in this divine and mystical realm, to possess the reality of the body of Christ, that we really would be that organic body as his organism. No, the whole church will not have that reality of the body. If you wait for that, the Lord will never come back. But if there would be a small number, a minority of his people that would have this reality, the Lord can come back. And he can have a success. God's economy will have a success by the overcomers. Two, we have to realize what the Lord's recovery is. The Lord's recovery is to build up Zion. Now, that doesn't mean we don't care for all the saints. We don't shepherd all the brothers and sisters. No, tonight we're not talking about that. We're talking about what God needs in this age, in order to end this age, in order that he can return and set up his kingdom on the earth, he must have a Zion to come back to. A, the characteristics, the life, the blessing, and the establishment. Where am I? Am I jumping up? Huh? I should be in two, right? Oh, 2A. And I'm right in the right place, right? Okay. I just read it. Well, it's good to read it again. The characteristics, the life, the blessing, the establishment of Jerusalem come from Zion. Jerusalem are all these things, but the source of these things is actually Zion. In a church, a local church, if there is a Zion there, a small Zion there, if there is a group of brothers and sisters that are the overcomers there, I tell you, that church will manifest, something of Jerusalem, what Jerusalem should be. It's that burden is borne by Zion today. One day, there will be the new Jerusalem there. The entire new Jerusalem in the end of the Bible is a big Zion. Zion is Jerusalem by then, but not today. Not yet. Where am I here? Yeah. I know I lost the verses. Here, let me read some verses again. Psalm 51:18, right? It talks about, do good in your good pleasure unto Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Psalm 102:21, the name of Jehovah may be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Psalm 128:5, Jehovah bless you from Zion and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Psalm 135:21, blessed be Jehovah from Zion who dwells in Jerusalem, and so on and so forth. You see that relationship between Zion and Jerusalem is very, very close. They're inseparable, actually. B, in the book of Revelation, what the Lord wants and what the Lord will build up is Zion, the overcomers. This is the intrinsic reality of the spiritual revelation in the Word of God. We surely need to be desperate to pray at any cost and to pay the cost, just as the Apostle Paul did. I think this is very clear. So we can say the Lord's recovery is to build up Zion. And this, according to this ministry, is the intrinsic reality of the spiritual revelation in the Word of God. Today, our brother, after speaking this to us, always say this, then what do we do? Where do we start? How do we respond? And always, always, he would say this, start by prayer. Start to pray. We need, with a word like this tonight, if there is any kind of response in our being to the caller, God himself, we would be firstly desperate to pray at any cost, and also to pay the cost, just as Paul did. Make no mistake, to be an overcomer involves a price, involves a cost, the paying of the cost. And Paul paid that price with everything. And he died an overcomer. See, our response to the Lord's calling of the overcomers in this age is for us to be vitalized. To be vital is to be living and active in oneness with our living and acting God. God's move on the earth for the accomplishment of his eternal economy is ultimately through the overcomers. So this matter of being vital, being vitalized, this matter of being vital groups, this matter of us needing to be living and active in oneness with the living and acting God, actually has to do with our being his overcomers today. Oh, that there would be many more overcomers in the Lord's recovery. This is not even to be vital so you can preach some more gospel or be vital to do certain things. It is. I'm not negating that or even downplaying that. There is that. But tonight, I want to draw your attention to the intrinsic reality of this matter, even of vitality. To be a vital saint is to be an overcoming saint, really, for God's move on the earth. What did our brother said? I'm a man, I have to be a Christian, right? If I'm a Christian, then what? I have to be in the recovery or in the church in the recovery. Well, tonight I think we need one more. If I am a recovery person, I must be an overcomer. It's not an option to Paul. It should not be an option to us. May the Lord be gracious to us in this matter. D, the overcomers who are typified by Zion are the beachhead through which the Lord, as the King of glory, will return to possess the whole earth as his kingdom. Because of time, I will not get into the verses. It's just taking too much time already. The overcomers as a collective group is the beachhead. The beachhead. The landing point. Through which the Lord, as the King of glory, will return. The Lord Jesus is coming. Amen?
Amen.
But he can only come through the overcomers. He is not and he cannot come for the church because the church has failed him. The beachhead where he can land, where he can come back to this earth and retake and repossess the whole earth as his kingdom is the overcomers. The overcomers is the landing pad. The overcomers, Zion, is where he will come. Without that beachhead, he has nowhere to land. Oh, think about that, brothers and sisters. You know, Brother Lee said this, and I'm very encouraged by this. He said, as I'm speaking these things, he was speaking these things. He said, I am recalling even right now that a number of saints that I served with in the past that have passed on already, he said, I can speak from the bottom of my heart that they are overcomers. Now, he didn't name names, but I don't know who he was referring to. But he said that. This means it is possible for us to be overcomers. Do not have a heart of unbelief. Dear brothers and sisters, ours is to respond. Respond to the Lord's calling. Let him, the overcomer, the unique overcomer who's also living within us.
Amen.
Let him do the work within us.
Amen.
Let us keep our gates open, shall we?
Amen.
Let us let him possess us.
Amen.
Let us allow him to constitute us as his overcomers today. There is no other way to reach the high peak of God's eternal economy, the reality of the body of Christ, except by praying. By praying, brothers and sisters. I do think that these days, among many prayers that we pray, we do need to pray for overcomers. Do you think I'm too much? We need to pray for sinners. We need to pray for the seekers. We need to pray for the saints. We need to pray for the local churches. We do. We absolutely do. The word says in Ephesians, to pray, what? Steadfastly, unceasingly, for the saints. We must do that. But here, we need to add something to our prayer, and that is to pray for the raising up of overcomers as the reality of the body of Christ, to be the bride of Christ. Only those who have the reality of the body of Christ can be part of this bride that will close this age, the age of the church, and will bring Christ as the King of glory back to take, possess, and rule over this earth with his overcomers in the kingdom age. A lot is at stake. You know, we say this is the end times, the day is near, the Lord is coming. But I don't know, as we think these things, do we factor this in? How would the Lord come back? In what way will he come back? How will this age be closed without the overcomers welcoming him, paving the way for him? F, Paul's epistle to the Ephesians reveal the living of the overcomers who live in the reality of the body of Christ by living in the mingled spirit. One, the reality of the body of Christ is the high peak in God's economy and the top revelation of the Bible revealed through a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Top revelation. Top revelation. Recall, in the last years, Brother Lee went to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want me to speak in the remaining years of my ministry? Only a few. The Lord say, speak concerning the reality of the body of Christ, the life of the body of Christ, and the living of the body of Christ. And that he did. Two, the reality of the body of Christ is a living. When we talk about this reality is a living in the mingled spirit, which is the dwelling place of God, the house of God, today's Bethel, the gate of heaven, and the holy of holies, the dwelling place of the pneumatic Christ as the embodiment of the triune God who is typified by the ark. I know this is a lot of words, a lot of things that you need, we have to digest or unpack and so on. But the mingled spirit. When Brother Lee was in the last days, Albert, I don't know where he was, in the hospital or what. You know, today you go to collected works of Witness Lee, you'll find in the last volume towards the end, those are not messages. Those are Brother Lee's last prayers over a month or two. And I would suggest you go and read those prayers. Some are just a few words, a sentence. And that spring, and that would be April, because he died in June, the 9th. He was already very sick. He couldn't meet. And then because there was, we didn't call it Itero in those days, a gathering of co-workers and elders at that time here in Anaheim. He said, he told whoever it was there, he said, I must go. I want to go to that meeting. But of course he never came. It was impossible. He said, I must go and talk to the co-workers about the two spirits, about the mingled spirit, and about these two spirits in relation to the organic salvation of Christ. That was the last thing, one of the last thing in his heart, is the mingled spirit. And this, he is talking about the reality of the body of Christ. He is concerned for our living. All the local churches, I speak not only to the 1600 in this room, I speak to all the local churches all over the earth. What we need today in the churches is a living, a certain living, a certain condition. A living in this mingled spirit. And when we really live in this mingled spirit, we are experiencing his organic salvation. We are living in the Holy of Holies, where he dwells, Bethel, where the ark is. And here, and only here, will we have the reality of the body of Christ. So in three, the reality of the body of Christ is the reality in Jesus. Now this is Ephesians chapter 4. As the reality is in Jesus. That chapter talks about the deceit personified And that would be Satan. Today, dear saints, look, the whole society, the whole world is just as one huge, big deceit. Don't be drawn into this. The cultural wars, the ideologies, all the things that is pushed to you in your devices every day. All the things. One big deceit. There's only one reality. That reality is in Jesus. The God-man. So the reality in Jesus is simply a living. The actual condition of the life of Jesus, as recorded in the four Gospels, duplicated in his many members, that's you and me. As the corporate living of the perfected God-man, through the renewing of the mind, by the renewing spirit, mingle with their regenerated spirit. This renewal process is the process of the organic salvation. By being saved organically, brothers and sisters, today, we will acquire a certain condition based on a living, a life. And that is the life of a perfected God-man. Again, don't think this is impossible. Don't think this is impossible. Reject that thought. This is possible. Amen. Jesus lived it. Paul lived it. And many others lived it. And we are admonished to live the same way. Because it is so that we have learned Christ, as the reality is in Jesus. Four, the church is filled with a beautifying, bright, preparing spirit who is mingled with our spirit so that we become Christ's holy, beautiful, God-expressing bride, a bride without blemish or imperfection. The Lord is coming to marry his bride. It does not mean he's coming to marry his church, not yet. He's coming here to marry his overcomers. The beautiful, unblemished, cleansed, sanctified, no spots or wrinkle bride. Five, for Christ to be victorious in our entire being, we must experience the slaying spirit, the killing spirit, mingle with our spirit so that everything of God's adversary can be killed within us, enabling us to rule in the divine life of the spirit over Satan, sin and death for God's dominion, and to live a healthy body life, a healthy church life. Remember, this bride actually will what? Go with the word of God Christ as part of that bridal army to fight the Antichrist at Armageddon. So on the one hand, she is the product of the what? Beautifying, bright, preparing spirit. She's also the product of the slaying and killing spirit that kill God's adversary in their being. The overcomers are those who have the adversary slain in their being, in their heart, in their soul, enabling them to reign, to rule over Satan, over sin, over self, over the world, over death. God has full dominion in their being. And you combine these two, the operation of these two spirits, the same spirit, one beautifying, one slaying, one for expression, the other for dominion. You have that bridal army that God would marry and fight with him to bring in his kingdom. Three, the overcomers enjoy Christ as the incarnated triune God, the God-man, and are those in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. Indeed, the early rain covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. Here I would just like to add a word. On the one hand, these overcomers is a collective corporate entity. No doubt about this. But again and again, you will see when overcomers, or the word he overcome is used, very much it used just what? He. Not they, but he. Even in this Psalm, great Psalm 84, it says what? They go from strength to strength, but each appears before God in Zion. To be an overcomer, on the other hand, is a very personal matter. Very personal matter. He who overcomes. I cannot overcome for you. You cannot overcome for me. A. The strippings and weepings result in the enjoyment of the loveliness and sweetness of God's house. Again, I don't have the time. Here, it talks about those in whose heart are the highways of Zion. These ones, they pass through the Baca Valley. As if this is the itinerary. This is the map. The way to Zion is through the Valley of Baca. What is this place? This is the place of strippings. This is the place of weepings. This is the place of sufferings. This is the place of persecution. This is the place of martyrdom, if not physical, psychological. This is that place. But these strippings and weepings in this valley, these overcomers, these ones who have the highways of Zion within them, will make it a spring. Covered with blessing, like the early rain. That means what? That means what they pass through, the all things, their environment, the difficulties, there's a result of the enjoyment of the loveliness and sweetness of God's house. I think many of us actually can testify to this. Some of us who have been here for some time, in the Lord's recovery. Every day is not a happy day. We pass through many things, many, many things in our lives, in the church life, strippings and weepings. But can we not testify that somehow they become a spring to us, like rain to us, like blessings to us? While we're weeping, we're being filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit becomes the spring and the early rain to us. The highways to Zion signify our intention to enter into the church as the house of God with the two altars, which signify the leading consummations of the work of the incarnated triune God, who is Christ as the embodiment of God for his increase. No time. The two altars in Psalm 84, one the bronze altar in the outer court to offer the sacrifices. And that is a type of the crucified Christ. The second altar is the altar before the Holy of Holies. And that is the golden altar of incense, where incense is offered to God for peace and acceptance. And that signifies the resurrected Christ in ascension. These are the two leading consummations of the work of Jesus Christ, the incarnated triune God. And we are to be brought to these two altars. And that's where we live, and that's where we'll raise our young. See, Psalm 84:11 reveals that the blessings of our dwelling in the house of God are our enjoyment of the incarnated and consummated triune God as our sun to supply us with life, as our shield to protect us from God's enemy, as grace for our enjoyment, and as glory for the manifestation of God in splendor. 2 days ago, or 3 days, when I had to come and give my first message, I think it was Wednesday. That night, I didn't sleep well. I got up with a headache and not feeling good at all. And then I, of course, realized tonight I have to minister. I have to speak. So with all these things going on, I recall this verse 11. This verse 11. And then something within me rose up. I begin to what? I begin to declare. I begin to speak. I begin to talk to Satan. And I begin to tell the Lord, Lord, you are my son. You are my life. You are my shield to protect me right now from Satan. You are my grace and you are my glory. I take you right now as these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how we overcome. We don't overcome by our natural strength. Who can? Who can remain and maintain the victory of Christ, the victorious Christ, by their natural strength? No one can. But we have this incarnated and consummated triune God Christ has all these marvelous provisions for us to overcome. Amen. So brothers and sisters, be empowered. Amen. Be encouraged. Amen. Be strengthened tonight. Amen. As we respond to the Lord, we will be your overcomer. Amen. Lord, we take you as our overcomer. Amen. All the provisions for us in your house is ours to take. Okay, number 4, his foundation is in the holy mountains. Jehovah loves the gates of Zion. A, Zion as a type of the overcomers in the church is built on the highest peak of the holy mountains, which typify the local churches, whose foundation is Christ, the heavenly Zion of which glorious things are spoken, will be the final place of rest for the overcomers. You know, the living overcomers in Revelation 14, who are raptured directly to the third heavens, to Zion. There they will stand with the Lamb. You know what that is, that Zion to this group of overcomers? That is their final place of rest. There is a place of rest reserved for the overcomers, and that is Zion. That is Zion. B, the gates of Zion are for coming in and going out, signifying fellowship. I covered that a little bit. The fact that the New Jerusalem will have 12 gates indicates that God's holy city will be full of fellowship. These overcomers fellowship, not only with the Lord, but with the body, with the members in the body. They're not individualistic. They're not independent. They're not seclusive or exclusive. They depend on the body. They live in the body. See, of Zion it will be said, the one, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. Jehovah will count when he records the peoples. This one was born there. The unique one, Christ, who is the totality of all the saints, this one and that one, is the one who is all the saints and in all the saints. Christ is in and Christ is all and in all. This reality belongs to Zion. D. All my springs are in you. Let Egypt boast of Nile, and let Babylon boast of the Euphrates. They do not have the springs, but we in Zion have them. Aren't you happy? A place of springs. In Zion. 5, the song of accents, the song of degrees, the song of accents. That means going up. These are Psalm 120, 134, written at different times by different people, speak about the Israelites now returning to Zion, not only to Jerusalem, but also they are what? Walking, ascending, climbing on the highways to Mount Zion. They speak of the preciousness of Zion and Jerusalem in the experiences and praises of the saints. Psalm 132, there are many of these psalms, but Psalm 132 in particular mentions 7 precious items related to the overcomers in their going up to Zion. These items are at the top of the church life, and they portray the situation of the overcomers in Zion, the highest peak of God's mountain. As we are on this highway to Zion, I think somewhere else our brother also mentioned something like this, that this highway to Zion is somewhat the path between the two altars. You start with altar one, and there's a journey through the laver and into the tabernacle. And there you have the face bread. There you have the golden lampstand. And finally, you arrive right to the Holy of Holies, to the second altar, the golden altar. That journey is the highway to Zion. This is an ever-deepening journey into God, the enterable God, from the outer court all the way into the Holy of Holies. That's the mountain. That's Zion. That is the top of the church life. Now, these 7 points, I'll just read. 1, when after I read it, please say an amen, okay? Resting with God.
Amen.
This is my resting place forever. How about we all read together, huh? 2, dwelling with God, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. 3, food for satisfaction, I will abundantly bless its provision, I will satisfy its poor with bread. 4, glorious clothing, its priests I will clothe with salvation, and its faithful ones will shout with a ringing shout. 5, the horn of victory. There I will cause a horn of David to shoot forth. 6, the anointing lamp. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed one. 7, the shining crown. I will clothe his enemies with shame. But on him his crown shall shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for Zion. And for the overcomers. And finally, B, when Zion is built up, as depicted in Psalm 132, we have a place where we can gather and where we can dwell together in oneness. How good and how pleasant this is. Psalm 133 is a psalm of accents. That is not some standalone psalm. That oneness with glory, that oneness, good and pleasant, belongs to the overcomers. See, may Jehovah, who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Wherever there are some overcomers, there will be God's blessing. The overcomers are God's blessing to His church. God always blesses His people from Zion, from the highest peak, from the ones who have attained to the top, to the position of the overcomers. From this position, God blesses all His people. Lastly, today in the church age, the God-men who are perfected and matured are Zion, the overcomers, the vital groups within the churches. But in the new heaven and new earth, the entire new Jerusalem will become Zion with all the believers as overcomers. But let us not wait until the new Jerusalem to become the overcomers. Let's be God's overcomers today.
Amen.
In this age,
Amen.
Let us be the beachhead
Amen.
To welcome the Lord back to this earth,
Amen.
To repossess this earth and establish His kingdom here.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters and all the local churches, the Lord bless you out of Zion.
Amen.
Let's have some prayer, please. Amen.